John chapter 13, then we'll go to John chapter 17. Just a little bit of review from previous messages along the theme that the church is having this year on loving the Lord your God. We said over a few messages the last month or so, last 3 or 4 weeks, we said that loving God should be the supreme desire of our hearts. We said loving God should be the supreme devotion of our lives. We've said that growing in our love for God is a continual process. We're all at a different level. Each and every one of us are a different level. If you're here tonight, I'm sure that you love the Lord, and we want to continue growing in our love for the Lord. We've said if we love God, we'll love others, specifically those who are unlovable. And sometimes the ones who are unlovable, we neglect to love, but those are the ones that Christ would have us to love. We said if we love God with all of our hearts, we will find ourselves delighting in Him, and He will place His desires in our hearts. Let's stand as we look at John 13, 31 through 35. Joseph and Maria, congratulations. Getting ready to be grandpa and grandma. Let me just tell you, you're going to like it. You are going to like it. Our 9th is going to be born this week, I think, and then our 10th will be born in just a few months, and it is exciting to be a grandparent. John chapter 13, verse 31 through 35, then we'll go to John chapter 17. The Bible says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway or immediately glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. By the way, this is at the what we call the Last Supper, just hours before the Lord will be crucified. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By the way, you ought to underline that phrase. Not only are we commanded to love one another, but the Lord tells us how much we should love one another the way he's loved us. How many of you know he's loved us big time? Somebody say amen. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, notice these words here. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Go to John chapter 17, if you would. And we'll look at some other passages a little while later after we pray and get into the message. John chapter 17, we'll go ahead and pick it up in verse 17. This is our Lord's high priestly prayer. He says, sanctify them or set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. That's our commission, to go into the world. That's why my wife and I are going to go to Laos. The marshals have gone to Australia. That's why the claim team is here. And thank God for them and their willingness to come here to help to support the church. But that's a commission for all of us. It says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Of course, this is the Lord speaking to the Heavenly Father. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they also may be one in us. Notice this next phrase, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you this evening, and as we so often say, we don't love you the way we ought to, but we do love you tonight. And we love you tonight, Lord, because you first loved us. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to gather together tonight. Lord, all over the world, there are believers who are forbidden to do what we freely do this evening. And Father, even this evening, this day, somewhere in the world, there were believers who were martyred simply because they met together as we do today. We're thankful, Lord, for the freedoms that we have. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this time that we have together. We pray that we would leave this place a little bit different than we came. And we give Jesus all the honor and all the glory, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Many, many years ago, close to 60 years ago, a man wrote these words. He said, "What can the effect be upon the spectators who live day by day among professed Christians who habitually ignore the commandments of Christ and live after their own private notions of Christianity? Will they not conclude that the whole thing is false? Will they not be forced to believe that the faith of Christ is an unreal and visionary thing which they are fully justified in rejecting?" He went on to say, "Certainly the non-Christian is not too much to be blamed if he turns away with disgust from the invitation of the gospel after he has been exposed for a while to the inconsistencies." Can I get you to say inconsistencies? "To the inconsistencies of those of his acquaintances or friends who profess to follow Christ." He said, "In that great and terrible day when the deeds of men are searched into by the penetrating eyes of the judge of all the earth, what will we answer when we are charged with inconsistency and moral fraud? And at whose door will lie the blame for the millions of lost men who, while they lived on earth, were sickened and revolted by the religious travesty known as Christianity?" The man who wrote those words was A.W. Tozer. If you've ever read any of A.W. Tozer's books, he's a man who preached and proclaimed holiness. His messages, to be honest with you, were very difficult, even in his time, in the 1950s and 1960s. In this passage, in this couple paragraphs I just read, he was talking about the inconsistencies, and I'm sure tonight you would admit with me that we tend to be inconsistent. Can I get an amen on that? Or maybe an oh me. Thank God for his mercy. Somebody say amen. We have many inconsistencies in our lives, and we, if we have any relationship at all with the Lord, we regret it. There's remorse. And at many times we see that even our inconsistencies have let others down, and even those who don't know the Lord. These words by Tozer are harsh to say the least, but we must be honest with ourselves and ask, are they true? And I think most of us tonight would be honest enough to say, yeah, I think so. I'm not sure that there's any area where we are more inconsistent, and we're inconsistent in a lot of areas. But I'm not sure if there's any area where we're more inconsistent than in the area that we will take a few moments tonight to talk about. 37 years ago, an independent Baptist brother, a preacher, an evangelist, wrote a book that dealt with this topic. It caused a lot of conflict and controversy. The name of the book was called Heart Disease in Christ's Body. In my over 30 years in the independent Baptist movement, over 5,000 church services, figured out today with a calculator, not to mention all the other messages I've listened to, I'm not sure if I've ever heard more than a handful of messages on the topic that we've only got a couple moments to talk about this evening. An entire message. Now, I've heard in various messages it alluded to. This afternoon, I searched a website that has over 600,000 sermons on it. They're all by topic, and I looked specifically to find a message on this topic. I could not find a message on this topic. sort of amazing, to be honest with you. The topic is a very simple one. We're supposed to love one another. In John chapter 13, the passage we read a few moments ago, Jesus made a very profound, by the way, everything Jesus said was profound, amen? Jesus made a very profound statement. If I were to ask you tonight what best characterizes a disciple of Jesus Christ, or what best characterizes someone who loves God, and that's the theme for the year, some of us might say someone who is spending quality time in prayer and Bible study. And by the way, that's a good answer. And by the way, I hope you spent time in the Bible today. I hope you spent time with the Lord today. Some of us might this evening say, well, I think a disciple would be somebody who is serving God. And that's a good answer, definitely a good answer. Someone might say, well, I think it's somebody who's living a holy and separated life. And that's a good answer. Another might say someone who's telling others about Jesus. And by the way, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and if you love Jesus, if you love God, you're going to tell others about him. All of these answers are correct, and in fact, they're great answers. Can't find any fault at all with any of them. But it seems as if there's one answer we often leave out of the equation of being a disciple. And Jesus said in John chapter 13, 34 and 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By what? That I'm a soul winner? No. That I'm separated? No. Did I spend time in the scriptures? No. And we need to do all of those. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. In John 15, 12, in 17, I think you have it in your handout, we find these words: this is my commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, these things I command you, that you love one another. Remember what A.W. Tozer said? He said the inconsistencies come when we don't obey the commands. This matter of loving one another is not, as my DVD about going to the mission field, about fulfilling the gospel, the Great Commission, it's not an option to be considered, but an obligation to be fulfilled. Us loving one another is not an option. It's an obligation. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, the Bible says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and true light now shineth. He that saith that he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. In 1 John chapter 3, and I wish we could read the whole passage, but we'll read what I've given you here. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Again, as I said a few moments ago, I've been a part of our kind of churches for about 30 years, a little bit over 30 years. And such an important topic you would think that we would hear far more messages about. Jesus said the world in John chapter 17, Jesus said it's by your unity, your love for one another, your oneness, your relationship with one another, that the world might believe my word. I'm going to ask you tonight, do you love the brethren? That's an important question we have to ask ourselves. And do we love one another in the same way that Christ loved us? That's an important question. Many, many, many years ago, those of you a little bit older, there used to be a song that said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Can I just tell you something? That's what the world has always needed. The world, more than anything else, they need to see the love of Christ expressed through your life and my life. Thank God for tracks that are first class. Somebody say amen. I've traveled enough to know that some tracks aren't first class. Thank God for all the different marketing tools that we use. And thank God for all the different methods that we use. But the truth of the matter is this. What drew most of us to the Lord is the same thing that will draw others to the Lord. It was his love. And I think most of us would testify tonight that it was his love manifested through somebody else. I think tonight, and we've mentioned this, a message about 3 weeks ago, we've mentioned this. I think tonight, if we were to call everybody up here to give a brief testimony, many of us, most of us would say, God led somebody my way who loved me when I was unlovable. Yeah, the truth of the matter is, and I'm all for door knocking, but the truth of the matter is, very few of us here tonight were reached through door knocking. Most of us were reached because somebody we knew came and brought the good news to us in love. How many of you would say that's how I was reached? Say amen. And not only that, those of us who have grown and we've got to the place where we would say we're fairly committed to the Lord, most of us tonight would say, to be honest with you, there was somebody who loved me along the way and helped me, cared for me. You've heard me, I need to move rapidly, but you've heard me share in recent days, I contacted the man who discipled me when I first got saved. Man, I had all kinds of baggage. But him and his wife, they just loved me, and they took me under their wing. And I mean, man, I would say things, just a bunch of nonsense. But they loved me, and they cared for me, and there was something attractive about that. We need to love one another. Let me give you real quickly a couple thoughts, and so much more could be said. Number one, I fill in the blanks if you would. Our loving one another reveals that we are saved. The Bible says in 1 John 3:14, if you love one another, what it does is it reveals that you've passed from death to life. Can I just say something, folks? If we don't love one another, we might want to do a salvation check. Somebody say amen. See, you know, it's easy for, you know, in our Baptist churches, we call each other brothers. Now, by the way, some of the churches, they call the sisters sisters. Our church doesn't, but some do. But, you know, it goes a lot deeper than just calling somebody a brother. Somebody say amen. See, we're the family of God. We've been born again by the Spirit. We've been adopted into the family of God. We are brothers and sisters. We are family, and we need to love one another. Somebody say amen. And see, that it reveals that I'm truly saved because I look at a bunch of people who are different than me. Their skin color is different than me. Their language may be different than me. Their culture may be different than me. They may be different food than me. Amen? But you know what? We all have the same Father. Somebody say amen. It's one of the signs that we're saved. Now, those of you who have children, you know how this works. Your children are all different. And by the way, as the family begins to grow and then you start having grandchildren, I have 8 grandchildren, the 9th one on the way this week, and a 10th one coming soon. We're going to have 6 boys, 4 girls, right? 6 boys, 4 girls. I got it right. 6. Can I just tell you something? They're all different. And by the way, they're not all exactly my cookie cutter the way I'd want them to be. But let me just tell you something. I love them. You say, why? Because they're family. They're family. Well, folks, can I just remind you of something? We're family tonight. And we might have differences, and oh, by the way, family, sometimes, occasionally, family is going to have a run-in or two. Hello? Now, my wife and I have been married 31 years. We've had 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. We've had quite a few run-ins. Amen? Now, my wife was glad that I was gone for 6 days. She had peace for 6 days. I went home for an hour. Peace was gone. Somebody say amen. But you know how we've been able to stay married for 31 years? Because we love one another. Do you know how you're going to stay a united, bonded church family? You love one another. You say, yeah, but you don't know the nonsense. Well, you ought to be married to me. You'd know the nonsense. Somebody say amen. Sure. It's a lot of nonsense. Number 2, real quickly. Number 1, our loving one another reveals we're saved. We're part of the family. Number 2, we are commanded to love one another. And we've already touched on that a little bit. It's not an option. It's an obligation. We're to love one another. I'm getting ready. I mean, my wife and I are getting ready to leave the country. Just before we leave the country, I'll gather my family together. Can I tell you my greatest concern is that my 5 children, when I leave, don't continue to love one another and grow in their relationship with one another. I'm going to tell you, that is probably my number 1 concern. You know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. If that's my concern, can I tell you that's God's concern? We're commanded to love one another. Number 3, God is glorified. Can I just say glorified? God is glorified when his people love one another. You know, can I just say something, folks? When we bicker and we fight, we argue, and we criticize, God's not glorified. By the way, not only in this body, but when we bicker and criticize those from other bodies, God's not glorified. Those are his kids too. Hello? You know, sometimes we think we're the only ones. We think we're the only ones in the family van. Somebody say amen. The van's a lot bigger than you think. Can I just say something tonight? God gets glory. You know, one of the things when I travel, and maybe it was Sunday night, I forget because it all flows in together, but one of the things that folks say more often than not, they praise us for, is our kids. I end up getting credit, and I, of course, I always say, oh, no, that's God, and that's their mom. If it was up to me, they'd all be in prison, amen? But can I tell you something? The way my kids live and the way my kids get along with one another is a reflection on me. By the way, folks, I don't have time. About three more minutes. If you work with lost people, the last thing you ever want to do is be critical of your church. Somebody say amen. Look, if you're critical of your church and you're critical of your Sunday school teacher, and I know who your Sunday school teacher is, he deserves to be criticized. Amen. Can I tell you something? What you have just done is you have cut off the opportunity for God to get glory in their lives. Number four, real quickly. One of, if not the, greatest evangelistic tools we have available is our love for one another and our unity. We read that in John chapter 13 and John chapter 17. We live in a day, we've got the internet today, we've got Facebook, we have churches have Facebook, we have great websites. I mean, man, there's some great websites. I was talking to Brother Marshall. I mean, the young guys who are in deputation now, man, it's embarrassing. I don't want my stuff anywhere near theirs because theirs is first class, it's sharp, it's cutting edge, and it's scientific, it looks Star Wars, you know, and it's top-notch stuff. And I mean, man, we've got colored tracks. I can remember Pastor and I, when we first started into this thing, I can remember when we had the little Romans Road, half the time Baptist was misspelled and that type of thing, and it was run off a mimeograph machine. We've got a lot of good stuff, but can I tell you something? All of those things, fine as they are, none of those things are as good of a hook to catch a fish for the Lord like a loving body of believers. And nothing will turn the world off more than believers who can't get along. Those of us who are parents, we understand that. We see our children. We don't want our children bickering. We don't want our children fighting. Joy's smiling, so I'll go ahead and fess up on her sins. Joy and John. Now, our kids didn't fight hardly any when they were young. And the three oldest ones, I don't hardly ever remember them fighting at all. But Joy and John, when they hit like 16, 17 or something, they were sharing clothes or something. I'm not sure what the problem was. But, man, they would bicker. I mean, they'd fight. I used to go in there. I said, man, you guys act like you're married. What's going on in here? Can I tell you something? That grieved my heart. Now, I don't know how much of that was seen outside. But I know sometimes I saw their fighting. And if what I saw behind closed doors was happening outside, that would have been a real bad reflection on our home. Our loving one another is a great evangelistic tool. You know, we have soul-winning conferences. We have soul-winning tools. We have soul-winning seminars. We've got soul-winning revivals. We have church growth. We've got all kinds of different things. But could I just tell you this, something? I'm traveling a lot. It's been about 115 churches in the last 11 months. And let me just tell you something that I've seen. We're not reaching a whole lot of fish. We're not reaching a lot of fish. And you've heard me say this. When I go to churches, what I do is I go and I introduce myself and I ask, how long have you been coming here? Did the church find you or did you find the church? How long you been saved? Now, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for it, but I'm going to tell you one reason for it. we're not loving one another. We're bickering. We're backbiting. And I'll be honest with you, if I'm a lost person, I don't need it. Why? Look, why go to church? Why wake up early to go to church when I could get that at the office? Hello? Our loving one another, number five, reveals that we're walking in the light. And of course, that would be the light of God's word, the light of God's spirit. I don't have time, so much to say. I look back at so much of my life and so much of my ministry where I was standing for truth. But I have to look back and ask myself this question, but was I walking in light? You know, we're supposed to speak the truth in love. Number six, love for others is best revealed by what we give, not by what we get, by what we give. That's 1 John 3:16 through 18. We can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. You say, Brother Johnny, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say tonight, folks. There's a heart disease that's very prevalent in most churches. And that's because most churches have sinners like you and like me. We're selfish. We're self-centered. We always want our way. We always think our way. It's amazing. Every church I go to, they think their way is the right way. Hello? It's not just us. Everybody else thinks that too. But I'll tell you something that will light this place up and light up any church and any home is if we would just determine to love Him and then love one another in the same way that He loves us. Let's stand. Let's pray, Pastor.